Like to invite you over to the Gospel of Mark this morning, chapter 5, verse 41. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 41. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 41, reads this way. It says, "And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, Lord, thanking you again for this opportunity that we have to come into your house. And then, Lord, even greater still, the opportunity to open up your word and to worship you. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, that we might hear from you and be drawn closer to you and to your grace, Lord, and to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And then Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may they see and understand the salvation that you've provided and receive you even today. Bless your people, Lord. Bless your word. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Astonished with Great Astonishment. That's a good thing. Astonished with great astonishment. And the word astonishment in this particular case has to do with a great surprise or a great amazement. Can God do that for us today in the year 2023? In the first day of the year of 2023, can God truly amaze us? And God wants to amaze us, and that's good. And listen, this is what causes the faith of the believer to overcome fear. Amen? When we see the working of God in our lives, it enables us, it empowers us. We don't empower ourselves. We don't rededicate ourselves or be committed. We yield ourselves. We present ourselves before the Lord that he might honor and glorify himself and empower our lives that we might walk in his grace. It's his testimony that he's given to us. We are witnesses of his great grace and glory. Amen. And so likewise, listen, if you consider the case that took place right here before us, that's what astonished them, the working of God. And God is the one that wants to work in your life and mine in this new year of 2023. So here's the question. How is it that God works? Well, I'm very glad you asked that question, if not out loud, at least maybe in your minds. And the Word of God explains to us and reveals to us how God works in everybody's life. Even those who reject God, God is still working in their lives. More importantly, listen, and when I say more importantly, we have the opportunity to be affected by the grace of God as believers to the greatest extent if we'll just understand what God wants for us today. And so let's consider this text here. Let's back up here, if we will, to verse 21. And I want to consider just a couple of things here. What is it that's needed in order for God to work? Well, that can vary a little bit. But this morning in our text, we're going to notice here that there was a great desperate need that was at hand in two accounts, in the case of Jairus and also in the case of this woman that had this issue of blood for 12 years. Now, I don't think the age of the little girl and the length of time that this woman being the same, 12 years, has really a lot that we might want to consider here this morning. But it is interesting that as long as this girl was alive, this woman was plagued with this issue of blood. And we'll take notice of these two accounts here. But anyway, it was a great desperate need that was in their life that God used to reveal himself and to honor and glorify himself and also to be a blessing in these two particular cases. Not only that, but we'll notice there'll be also a lesson for the Lord's disciples. Question this morning: does the Lord maybe have something to say to us today? Amen. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's maybe a third of us. Let's try that again. Does the Lord maybe have something to say to us today? Amen. Amen. Because if we don't believe that, we're wasting our time. Amen. If we don't believe that, then we're walking in unbelief and not faith. I come into the house of God to hear from him. And listen, God wants to speak to us. But it depends upon the condition of our heart. We might be walking in unbelief and saying, I don't know that I believe all this. I'm not so sure that this is relevant for today. Listen, God wants us to see the relevance of our faith, our trust in Him every day. And so God wants a lesson for the disciples. Not only that, and then lastly, we'll consider a faith that conquers fear that's given by God. A faith that conquers fear that's given by God. God is the giver of all good gifts. Amen. And if we'll keep that thought in mind, we can be the recipients of it. But if we don't think there's a gift to be received, even for a saved child of God, Brother George, absolutely, there's a gift every day, and it's called life in Christ that you and I have been given that He wants to empower for us to enjoy. Again, He wants to fill our cup, not just halfway full, not three-quarters way, overflowing, right? The full cup is for you and I, so that the world might see, listen, the grace of God in our life. The overflowing is for them, that they might see the grace of God that's overflowing out of our lives, and they will say, my goodness, I think I'd like to have that, right? My goodness, I see, listen, they go through the same struggles, they go through the same trials, but what is it that causes them to have joy that I don't understand? Well, listen, we've got a bright future, amen? By the way, listen, we know that God companies with us, in fact, holds us in His hands. I don't know about you, but I think that's something to be excited about. Now, listen, don't misunderstand me. I have hardship in my life as well. I have a roller coaster ride up and down, and I'm not going to say that my life is the same as yours, worse than yours, or better than yours. I'm just going to say we've all been tried as human beings at different times, at different ways, and yet God holds us in His hands. And I will tell you firsthand, that is sometimes, many times, in fact, all the time, is what gets me through. Amen? It gets me through. And so let's consider our text this morning as we consider the case of Jairus here. And this, there was a great desperate need. And let's look at the things that take place. Notice verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, listen to this, much people gathered unto Him. I want you to take notice this. There was a lot of people that were there. Sometimes maybe we're afraid to do something in front of people. You ever stop to think about that? How many of you would like to stand up in front of a big crowd of people and just speak to them, right? I was afraid of that many times. In fact, I'll tell you, it's still a fearful thing. And if it's not for the grace of God, it's just a mess. But here it is. I remember being in high school and even in seminary school, not looking forward to standing up and speaking in front of, especially your peers, right? So I want you to consider this, because there's something at stake here in the life of this fellow Jairus. Look at verse 21 again, and it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto Him, and He was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Question, do you happen to know that the people of the synagogue, the rulers of the synagogue, did not look upon the Lord Jesus Christ favorably at all? Amen? And you may not be aware of this also, but the leaders of the synagogue, the religious rulers, were also stirring up the people to not look upon the Lord to look upon Him favorably. And so this ruler of the synagogue comes to the Lord. It says Jairus by name there in verse 22. And when he saw Him, look what he did. He fell at His feet. Question. There was a great crowd there, wasn't there? Do you think he cared at that moment about the great crowd? That went out the window. Listen, that is a good indicator of us focusing on the Lord and hearing and being able to hear from Him, because we're not coming there. Listen, was he concerned about his position? No. Was he concerned about what people might think or say? No. What was his focus? The Lord Jesus Christ. He had a great need that nobody could resolve but the Lord Jesus Christ. Question, do you and I maybe have a great need that nobody can resolve but the Lord Jesus Christ? our relationship with Him, our walk with Him, the grace of God in our lives. There's so much that we can have from the Lord that can only come from Him, but we must be focused, not concerned about the crowds, not concerned about circumstances. We must be focused to approach Him in faith. And listen, say what you will, this was faith. He was trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to do something for him concerning his daughter. So notice verse 23. And he besought him passively, casually. He besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." In fact, at one point, in another one of the Gospels, it was already, she was already gone. He knew she was going to die. She was so close to death, she was going there, and she did. All right? But the Lord sees things not as you and I see them. He sees the future that you and I cannot see, and that the world cannot see. Aren't you glad about that? Listen, we need to have our faith and our trust in the one who sees beyond this world, the one that sees beyond what we see in ourselves. He sees what we can have in Him, even in this life, and most of all, in the life to come. We don't have an inkling or an idea. We can think about all the things that heaven is going to be like, and we're going to miss it. It's going to be greater than we can even ever imagine. And I thank the Lord for that. That's His word, not mine. That's His truth. That is the truth of the matter concerning the life of the believer, and what a day that will be. So notice what happens here in verse 23. Again, he says, "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee," he's pleading, he's begging. Listen to what he says here. "Come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall" what? Where did that come from? Listen, he's a religious ruler of the synagogue that was at enmity with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, listen, he came to the end of himself, and now he was able to clearly see that there was only one that could help him. None of his other fellow companions in the synagogue, none of the other religious rulers, none of the other people that were there in the multitudes could help him. Only one person could give him the help that he was after. And when you and I can see the one person that can only give us the help that we need, we will hear from God. Amen. And so here's this case, here's this situation. And he's no doubt desperate. Amen? Wouldn't you say that? He wants to see something take place. But I want you to know that God gave him a confidence that only God can grant that she was going to live. Listen, it didn't take place yet, but I want you to know this was a God-given grace that God gave him. Just the same way that David knew when he was going out against Goliath that Goliath was going to fall. That is the kind of faith that God wants to instill in our lives, that through Christ we are more than conquerors. But if we're looking to ourselves and what we think, have you figured it out? God's ways are not ours. God's thoughts are not ours. But if we lean to our own understanding, we will miss the will and way that God works. And so as we consider this, God gave him something. It didn't come to pass. There may have been some questions and concerns, but he was moved to move forward. David didn't know the outcome of the whole story. He was just, God was telling him, this giant is going down, and he went out. And because of his past experiences, David's past experiences, he saw God working. And by the way, listen, maybe Jairus also knew the working of God and what he had done in the past, even through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was hearing. And maybe even though it wasn't popular amongst the rulers of the synagogue, he was looking at Jesus and probably questioning and probably thinking, is not this the Messiah, the Savior of the world? Is not this the one who was spoken of in the Old Testament concerning our salvation? And so God was giving him confirmation. God was leading him along and helping him to understand and opening up some things to him that would honor and glorify the Lord and make the difference in his life. So let's look at this in just a moment again. We're going to move over to the woman, and she has some difficulties in her life as well. And notice what happens here. In fact, look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people, there's this much people again, followed him and thronged him. This is an important note. There were so many people. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where there's just, I mean, you are just packed to people. I don't like that. That's uncomfortable to me. But some people, I don't know, as a teenager, I did some crazy things. And I went to a concert, and we were like sardines in there. And I thought, never again will I do this. That's what I learned that day. And anyway, we were compacted there together. And all of a sudden, you know what happened to that crowd? They started to fall. Guess what happened? We all went down. Man, what a mess to get back up again. As soon as I got back up again, I was done. See you guys later. I'm gone. I don't want that to happen again. And by the way, they fell again. They got up again. There were so many people there that you were like, I kid you not, like a sardine. Now, I don't know if this was the case, but needless to say, there was a lot of people, and they were thronging the Lord Jesus Christ. That means they were trying to get very close to him. All right? So with that thought in mind, we look to this woman here in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of the physician, of many physicians. Did you see that? She suffered many things. Not of one physician. How many physicians? That means she had this issue of blood and she wanted a resolution. She wanted to resolve this problem. It bothered her enough to not just go to one doctor and suffer many things, but to go to many doctors and suffer many things. Don't you love it when people say, I know how to fix this? And they don't. They don't. I'll take care of this for you, and you don't get any better. And so, listen, some doctors are scary. You shouldn't say that about doctors. They're just human beings. They're just human beings. And they can make mistakes and have made mistakes. I won't mention his name, but my little time in the neurology field, doing electroencephalograms and operative monitoring and things of that nature, there was a neurologist who read a CAT scan upside down in the 80s, doing brain surgery, operated on the wrong side of the brain. That's called human error. And we look up to people and we put them on a pedestal. May I tell you something? Every one of them are fallible. Amen. There's only God. Amen. Who is not fallible. May we be careful putting people up on a pedestal. And here's this woman who had this issue of blood and was wanting a resolve. Listen, she was desperate, was she not? She was determined. By the way, listen, she could have said, you don't understand. I've gone to the best. I dare say she probably went to some doctors that had a good reputation. Maybe at the end, maybe at the beginning, she went to any doctor just to try to get some kind of resolve. Maybe they know something different that we've not tried yet. She suffered a lot and lost all of her savings. And now all of a sudden, notice this, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This desperate situation is getting worse. How's your situation this morning? Is it getting worse? There's one person that can make it better, only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So she grows worse, verse 27. And when she had heard of Jesus, right, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Why did she do that? Well, it tells us why. Notice, for she said, where did that come from? She was going to doctors, many of them, and she was getting worse. She didn't know which way to go. In fact, wouldn't you say that every decision she'd made up until this point was the wrong one? Certainly didn't help her. In fact, she didn't get better. She didn't even stay the same. She got what? She got worse. And so now, God's going to move on the scene now. Listen, when we are in a desperate situation and wanting help, and especially in our relationship with the Lord and our walk with Him, do you know that's a prayer God wants to answer in the life of the believer? You know, if we're drowning, if we're sinking because we're trying to do the commandments of God, that's like walking on the water, like Peter did. Do you know what will happen if we do it in our own strength? We're going to be distracted very quickly and we're going to begin to sink. But there's somebody we can call out to who will pull us up and enable us to honor and glorify Him. And so if things are not getting better in our walk with the Lord, do you know that God wants to empower our lives that we might be a witness to His honor and glory? Listen, what does it mean to be a witness of God? Well, it means to be a witness of His joy. It means to be a witness of His peace. It means to be a witness of His contentment. I enjoyed that Wednesday night message there, the three keys, was it not, to contentment. And by the way, not satisfaction. Not just to be satisfied, to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. Can I tell you something? I can't do that. I am not content in my own strength. I can only be content if God can intervene and wants to intervene, and He does, and will intervene in my life, that He might step in and let me know that I'm in His hands. I want you to know, I don't always know that. I need God to remind me of that. Can you guess how often? Once a year? Once a month? Once a week? Once a day? All the time. I need God all the time. So guess what? The moment I'm not content, guess what I know? I've walked away from the Lord. I've stopped. I'm not following God anymore. I got this, Lord. Man, woo! Man, I'm content. Let me just take care of this. I got it from here, Lord. It won't be too long. I'll start sinking. I need God. I need to be focused on Him to be content all the time. Listen, the devil is working hard today, in this day and age, to distract us and to keep us. I was telling my wife and my family, I think it was my family, for sure my wife, we were on this trip, and I can't remember who the fella was, and he's on home to be with the Lord, but he was a fella that was a very good preacher of the Word of God and did a lot of good things for the cause of Christ by the grace of God. And he was going to see, I think it was in either the late 1800s or the early 1900s, he went to go see this older preacher who had also faithfully served the Lord for many years now. And he's at his house and he's up in years, and he wanted to counsel with him. He wanted to sit with him and talk with him and hear how the Lord had worked. Happened to be in that area. Travel was a lot different back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. So he was in this area where this fellow was at, and he wanted to meet with him, and he had the newspaper tucked underneath his arm, and he knocked on the door, and they were expecting to have this fellowship time, and the old sage preacher opened up the door to this fella, and he looked at him, and he said, "Listen, are you wanting to come in and talk with me?" And he said, "Absolutely. I'd like to hear what the Lord has done in your life and talk about spiritual things." He said, "Then you'll have to leave that newspaper out here, because I don't allow any lies in my house. Only the truth. There's only one source for truth." "You mean to tell me the newspaper can lie?" Well, this fellow knew it back in the late 18, early 1900s. I wonder how much lying we're listening to today. You're not going to find peace in the news. You're not going to find peace in your goals. You're not going to find peace or joy in the things of this world. You're only going to find real peace and real joy, pray tell, where? Where? In the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would say it would behoove the believer to spend some time seeking God in His peace. Not just for knowledge, but to hear from Him and to walk in Him. See, there's a difference. The religious rulers were all about knowledge, but they didn't know Jesus, did they? Be careful, we don't follow their footsteps. It's not just about, listen, You can know everything about this Bible and miss God. You can know everything there is to know about the Word of God and never hear from Him. See, because God is not just words on a page. He is a person that we must engage if we're going to experience Him. So here's this woman who is now turned from what she thought to engage God, and God now is working. Listen what happens here. Verse 28. For she said, this is what she said, remember? If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Not maybe about it. Where did that come from? Where did that faith come from? Same place David got it. Same place Jairus got it. Did God answer these? Listen, these things are penned down for you and I to understand how God works. And so she said, I shall be whole. And then verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Did she know it? Did she know she was healed? Man, how long did God wait to answer that prayer? The moment she touched Him. The moment she touched Him. You know, that might be the problem in our lives. We're not touching God. And that's why when you open the Bible every day, I hope, and if we're not opening the Bible, we're not touching God. And by the way, if you are opening the Bible, that doesn't mean that you will touch God. Unless you know He's there to be touched. God wants us to touch Him because when we touch God, He makes the difference in our life. It's possible to open up the Word of God and not touch God. That means we don't get anything. We don't get really anything other than just head knowledge. Can that happen? I've done it more than once. But that's when I stop and say, Lord, You've got to do something. I don't want to just read words on a page because that's what the Bible can become if we're not touching God. And so this woman, God gives her this faith. God answers. But He's not finished now. He's working with this woman, but He's also working with His disciples. That would be you and I today if we profess to know the Lord. So notice what happens here. She's healed. And she knows it. Verse 30, here's the lesson for the Lord's disciples. It says here, and Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him. That's amazing. You ought to just spend some time meditating on that truth right there. How she knew it and the Lord knew it right away. Amen. Do you think God knows it when we're reaching out to touch Him? My goodness. And so he says virtue had gone out. He knew this. He turned Him about. That's getting the attention of God. He turned Him about in the press. Remember, they were thronging Him and said, who touched my clothes? Now, did the Lord know who touched Him? So who was that for? Everybody that was there. And by the way, listen, it was for the woman, it was for the disciples and everybody that was thronging Him. And what's going on right here? See, listen, the natural mind does not grasp spiritual things. We just answer naturally. What kind of a question is that? That's the natural realm. If God says something, that means there's something to it. It's not just what you're seeing on the surface. That's called leaning to your own understanding. Listen, you have to humbly approach the Lord. What does it mean to be humble? I don't know, God. But if you approach God, I got this, I understand it. Yeah, ask me another question. Man, you're a lonely person between you and the Lord. You're not experiencing the Lord. In fact, you might be even getting bored with the things of God. You know why? Because you're missing God. How do you know that, Brother George? Because I know when I miss God. Listen, it's not exciting when you're missing God. You know what it becomes? It becomes ritual. It becomes religion. It becomes dry as dead bones. No good. So if there's a problem in that, we call out, we humbly approach the Lord. I don't want to have a mediocre, dry Christianity. I don't want just head knowledge. Lord, I want to see you working in my life because you've promised to. So again, verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Thou sayest, who touched me? What are they really saying? We don't want to say it, do we? We don't really want to say that they were thinking, that's a dumb question. That's a dumb question. But that's what they meant. You know what happens when we stop asking what we think are dumb questions? We walk in our pride. We walk in our pride. So they're saying, and by the way, here's the wonder of it all. God knew how the disciples were going to respond. Who do you think was the one that may have been doing the talking, who always did the talking, possibly? Was God finished with him? Guess what? He's not finished with us either. I praise God for Peter. Only for this reason, really. Well, many reasons, but the thought at mind at this moment is, if there's hope for him, praise God, there's hope for me. So notice this. Verse 32. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Remember, now he's focusing on the woman. Remember, how can you ask this question? Look at the Lord's answer. You know what the disciples were thinking? You're never going to find this woman. By the way, they didn't even know if it was a woman. You're never going to find the person that touched you. They told God, they told Jesus, you are never going to find that person. We just know. We've been in groups like this. We've been in groups not as bad as this, and you couldn't find anybody. By the way, listen, you want to hear something crazy? Listen to this. I forgot to tell you this story. Remember that concert I told you that I went to? I went there with a friend that I grew up with. And after the concert, we lost each other. And he was my ride home. You better believe I found him, all right? But here it was. I said, you know who I ran into? I ran into somebody we both knew at that concert that I was standing right next to. You know what he told me? You're never going to believe this. He was on the other side of the same person. And I never saw him. And I was talking with that person. Or something, yelling. I don't know what we were doing. And then he was talking to the same person. And I scratched my head and he scratched. And we never saw each other. Listen, I never want to be in that kind of a situation again. But it may have been a similar situation where these disciples. I see that a little bit differently from the disciples' perspective. Where they say, you saw their throng, they're pushing on you, and you're going to ask us? We couldn't even see the person that was on the other side of the person we were next to. That's amazing. But they forgot they were talking to God. And so, verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, listen, this is God working. But the woman fearing and trembling, by the way, she was healed. And she knew it. She was blessed by God and knew it. Knowing what was done in her, came. And by the way, I don't know if she heard, right? But she knows she's got to come before the Lord. The Lord's questioning this. And so the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She just told the whole story. She said everything about the doctor. She said everything about what she saw when she looked at him. Where did that come? Listen to me, listen. Where did that, she didn't get that on her own, that if she would touch him, she would be made whole. Listen. Was that from God? Where else could it be? You mean to tell me she didn't hear anything or see anything, and it was put in her heart, if I could just touch him, I'll be made whole. Boy, I wonder what God has in store for you and I, if we could just touch him. Through his spirit, as we read the word of God and what he wants to do in our lives. So she tells him everything. Verse 34, and he said unto her, listen to this, daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy trust. Faith and trust are together. Nothing she had, because she acted upon what God was giving her, and she trusted God, faith and trust. That faith, that trust in God, not herself. The physicians couldn't make her whole, but God could.
Amen.
And did. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Verse 34. Listen to this. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Isn't that amazing? A faith that conquers fear, that's given by God in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, several people, which said, thy daughter is dead. Listen, why troublest thou the master any further? Did you get that? He's tired. He's tired. Stop knocking. Stop knocking. He's tired. You're troubling him. Do you know what God says if we keep knocking? He'll open the door.
Amen.
He'll open the door. You know what the world's telling you? Stop. Jesus is saying, oh, please. Though he bears long with us, he will answer us speedily. And so, why do you trouble the master any further? Well, let's see how he responds. Ready? Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, remember, don't trouble him. Was the Lord thinking the way that these certain people were thinking? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, listen, did he need this word? Be not afraid. Listen, only believe, only trust. Be not afraid of what they're saying. Believe what? If you'll come and touch my daughter, what was the word? She'll live. If you'll come, what was the Lord telling him to believe? What God put in his heart. What God put in his heart. Not what the people were saying. You know what we're doing today? We're listening to what the people are saying. And there's so many avenues to hear what the people are saying that it's nothing more than a distraction. And it's not going to grant us the joy and the peace of God. And so, he said, verse 36 at the bottom, Jesus, as soon as he heard the word that was spoken, saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, a direct word to him, be not afraid, only believe. And listen to this. Remember the lesson to the disciples? Lord, you're asking a stupid question. I'm sorry to say it, but that's how they came across. And he suffered no man to follow him, save who? Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Probably the ones that spoke it. I'm just conjecture on my part, all right? But he has them come along as he wants you and I to come along. Just in case you thought you've blown it with the Lord, he still says, come. He says, come unto me. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. That's a disturbance. And them that wept and wailed greatly. Now there's something funny and peculiar about this. If you didn't know, these were hired people this was the tradition. They were hired. This is not real wailing, all right? They're not really sad at Jairus' daughter who died. They're just kind of, that's the ritual. That's what happens when we get into ritual practices. We just go through the motions. How can you say that they're not genuine? Well, let's just look on. They wept and wailed greatly, verse 38. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, who's that? The people that are wailing, because Jairus is with him. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Remember, the Lord can see the future. God sees things as they are. By the way, listen, God sees you and I as we will be one day, and as we are in him. He loves us unconditionally because of what he has done and given to every believer. So remember, here they're weeping, right? Verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. I don't care, listen. If you're grieving like that, I don't care what you say, I'm not laughing. How can they just turn it on and turn it off like that? They're weeping and now they're laughing? Because it's not genuine. It's a show. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. This is not seen. And them that were with him, those are the three, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Do you know that God wants to astonish us, amaze us, surprise us, great surprise? Oh, I would have never guessed it. But you have to walk before the Lord saying, I need you, God, to open my eyes. You can't just, I see it in the Word of God and that's it. God needs room, faith, trust to work. That we don't put any shackles, hindrances in the Lord's way of our faith or our trust in Him. But that we give Him the broad canvas to paint the picture He wants. Very quickly, and we're done. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And when they were astonished with great astonishment, listen to this. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. God does things differently. Could God have not had her wake up from the dead with a full stomach? He could have done that. He didn't tell the woman that was made whole, now you better go get something to eat. All I'm saying is, we need to give God room to work as He sees fit. He saw fit to heal her, and yet to acknowledge her physical being and the necessity that she has. Does the Lord know that you and I need food as well? And He says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. And He says, Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. Are ye not much worth much more than those things? God says this morning, I wish to perform. Listen. God wishes to perform His will in the world or in His people. Are we His people? We are if we're His church. But you must ask the Lord. You won't do that if you're not humble. You'll just chalk this off. Another message. But God wants more than just to give us messages. He wants to walk with us. The choice is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. Lord, we thank You for this new year that brings in new opportunities to walk with You and to experience Your grace, Your peace, Your joy, the fruit of Your Spirit in our lives that would honor and glorify You. Lord, I pray that You would speak to all of us who already know You. But Lord, maybe there are those that are here that do not have a full assurance and understanding of Your salvation. Open up their hearts, and may they realize it's a gift that You've already provided. They just must simply put their faith and trust in what You did for them when You died on the cross and shed Your blood to pay for all of their sins, not most, but all, Lord, past, present, and even the future. I don't understand that, Lord, but I'm glad it's true. And Lord, I pray that You would make it true for them, that they might come to Your peace and even Your joy and Your salvation. Bless the invitation, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.